attended the screening of his new film, Wide Awake, made by Miramax. They'd had lunch at the Four Seasons Hotel in New York, and Shyamalan had complained about Harvey Weinstein's heavy-handed editing of Wide Awake, lamenting that it wasn't the film he wanted to make. Shyamalan promised Vogel he'd show him his next project. Vogel spent the lunch hour reading the script for The Sixth Sense. It opened conventionally enough with the shooting of an esteemed child psychologist, Malcolm Crowe, by a demented former patient. Crowe seeks to atone for his failure with this patient by treating a troubled young boy named Cole Sear. Sear's disorder is that he sees ghosts as if they are real people. Caught up in the suspense of whether Crowe can cure the young Cole and whether Cole and Crowe are in jeopardy, Vogel was unprepared for the script's startling final revelation that Crowe is, in fact, already dead, murdered in the opening scenes. He is one of the ghosts that Cole sees. Vogel had often said that a film executive could hope to read a spec script that was perfect once or twice in a career. The Sixth Sense was perfect. Vogel called Zimmer at 1:30 p.m., the minute he finished reading. "I want it," he said. "New Line has already made an offer," Zimmer said. It was reportedly $2 million, plus Shyamalan could direct. Vogel's mind raced. How could he close this deal? He couldn't get into a bidding war. $2 million for a spec script was already off the chart. "I'm going to say something on the phone," Vogel said, "but at some point you either let me buy this or the deal is off the table." Then he offered a guarantee that if Shyamalan brought the project in on a $14 million budget, it wouldn't be killed by the studio, and he agreed when Zimmer asked for a pay-and-play provision, which guaranteed Shyamalan the right to direct. Zimmer accepted. Vogel's head was spinning. Joe Roth was out of town, so he couldn't immediately consult him. He had never greenlit a project on his own before, let alone given a director commitment to the screenwriter, a rare promise. When he outlined the deal terms to the senior vice president of business and legal affairs, Philip Mule, he was initially floored. "I'm getting this bargain basement," Vogel argued. "The script reads like perfection beyond perfection, and it's the most controllable deal." Kathleen Kennedy and Frank Marshall, already under contract to Disney, were set to produce, and they were great with kids. Vogel said Shyamalan would likely hire a talented but less expensive actor for the lead, Kevin Spacey maybe, for $1 million. He'd easily bring this in for $10 to $14 million total. "If this is not the moment in my career to try this," he told Mule, "then it never will be. This is what you wait for." That night, Vogel took Shyamalan to the Four Seasons Hotel in Los Angeles to celebrate. When Joe Roth returned, he read the script and said he liked it okay. But Vogel could tell he wasn't enthusiastic. Eisner wasn't going to like the $2 million price tag. Vogel realized that by unilaterally negotiating the deal, he had gone way out on a limb. Yet, he had no way of knowing that as far as Roth was concerned, he'd gone too far. Since Roth's presentation at Sun Valley 2 years earlier, Disney's live-action film strategy had undergone a fundamental shift. Gone were the modest singles and doubles of Eisner's Paramount in early Disney days. Gone was the philosophy of the Katzenberg Manifesto,